Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Juliette Talevi, and tackling your questions on the line this evening are David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne McCurry from M&B Wealth and Investments, who are talking amongst themselves, even as I try and tell you to send us our questions to 41392, that you can SMS, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. David, Wayne, how rude. Haven't you learned the ropes by now, for goodness sake?
It's Shapiro. He never stops talking.
Yeah. I was going to ask Wayne if he had a local anaesthetic on his nail when they pulled it off.
No.
Yes, Wayne.
He just gave you some medical.
Wayne has a sore finger. And no, we shall leave it at that.
But I won't show the viewers here, because if I show the viewers the damage to my right hand middle finger, they'll think I was showing everyone a rude sign.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Well, moving to the markets, there wasn't much of a rude sign on the markets today if you consider what happened yesterday. Everything fell in a heap, but things recovered a little bit today. David, if I may start with you this week. I see there's a new term du jour, and it is stagflation has crept into the lexicon of things to worry about in the FT reports. Talking about, I suppose, earnings maybe tailing off and high inflation, which is probably the worst possible combination for equities, right?
Yeah. Interest rates go up and there's no growth. In other words, equity markets are not responding to the reason that interest rates normally go up, which would be greater activity. So I think there is a concern that we're just going to peter out without any kind of stimulus in the economy. Earnings, which were very high this year, might flatten out next year. Margins come under pressure because of inflation. And so you get this, you get a situation where we just bumble along sideways. You don't want to go into bonds because rates are going up, and you don't want to go into equities because earnings are going down. So it becomes a difficult market to play.
But Wayne, I mean, that is a difficult market, but I suppose it's better than an outright fall. But sometimes a correction in stock markets can just be a period where markets go nowhere, right? They just bumble along, as David says, and sometimes you have to look out for that or just expect it.
Markets very seldom just bumble along sideways. They either go up strongly or they go down strongly. But there have been periods in the past where markets have gone sideways for sustained time periods. But both Shapiro and I are old enough to know what stagflation is, because we've lived through it. I don't think it's coming. I don't think there are inherently inflation pressures worldwide. The high inflation numbers we're seeing now are temporary, I believe. But inflation is not going to be 1% going forward, but I don't think it's going to be more than 2.5% in the major world's major economies. To get higher inflation, you need this credit binge, and it's by consumers, and it's not happening.
Okay. And then just maybe one last general comment before I get to questions. Is the market making a meal of the fact that the stimulus is going to be withdrawn? I mean, for goodness sakes, how long did it expect ridiculously easy monetary policy to continue? The world has to get onto its feet. You can't just carry on printing cash in the US's case. At some point this has to happen, and that's a good sign. So, but do you think there's going to be sort of a tumult in the markets, or is it just going to be kind of volatile and you should actually maybe just close your eyes and look at your portfolio in a year's time?
Look, the underlying market conditions for the last 10 years are the best that David and I have seen in our lifetimes, and it's probably the best that anyone who's watching this program will see in their lifetimes. Because the last 10 years are so extraordinary in the longer context of how markets and how economies work. We have had effectively zero interest rates with massive stimulus, with no inflation, and you started the 10 years at a very low PE. Now you're ending this extremely positive period for equity with a high market valuation, but I'd like to just temper the negativeness and the bearishness. What we're going to enter, I think, is more normal equity markets, because the last 10 years are highly abnormal. So you should get low single-digit returns from equity for the next 10 years, instead of sort of double-digit plus returns from equity. So we just got to be a little bit concerned, and whatever happens, interest rates are going up. That's the next move.
Yeah.
You know, Julieta, I just sometimes, you look in amazement. The S&P was up 20% 2 weeks ago. 20%.
For the year.
I mean, in an environment up.
Yeah.
In an environment where interest rates are, the 10-year is what, 1.3%. So there's a massive real return. So all of a sudden, we retreat about 3 or 4%, which I must say is about the fourth time we've done that this year. You know, there are many times this year that this has happened. And all of a sudden, everybody's going flappy, you know, because we've come back a little. I mean, hold on a sec. We're still up in the S&P about 16, 17%. And it goes, you know, to exactly what Wayne is saying. Hold on. Sometimes that's how markets move.
Yeah.
You know, and there are periods when we're not going to get any returns. And that's when you've got to do a little bit of hard work and seek out the companies that are going to grow and are going to be able to adapt or position themselves for what could be a slowdown in the global growth and slightly higher inflation and so on. So, I mean, everybody gets so carried away because we have a little bit of a, not even a meltdown, a bit of airs let out the tires. That's how markets work.
Okay. Thank you for that sanguine advice. Getting to questions. And David, I shall stick with you, David, and I'll get to you, Wayne. And that's because you actually picked it a couple of months ago. And then sort of talking about flat tires, I mean, the air was let out of the stock and nothing happened. So you must have been quite disappointed. But today it had its day. And that was Barloworld. On the back of a trading update that came out with yesterday. And maybe some a broker report, Wayne, I think you said it at the start of the show. So the question is... Barloworld has not only weathered the COVID storm successfully, it has proven adept at converting flat revenues to high levels of operating profit. Like the judicious few the company has used the last 12 months for serious balance sheet introspection. Does the panel feel that exiting logistics, which is also what they announced yesterday, will sustain the business model? Or will the golden-egged goose prove, like the ghost of Banquo, to be one value proposition too many?
I'm still trying to make up my mind. Historically, I chose it because it was exposed to mining in Mongolia and in Russia, where they have got very good operations. They're not only selling, they're selling equipment. And likewise here, they're servicing, sales were down, but they're servicing the equipment, which is mainly the Caterpillar. And you know, mining is also going to be hopefully a bit more robust here. And then, remember, they bought the starch business from Tongaat, which is also giving decent returns. So when I saw the results a couple of months ago or a few weeks, I thought this was a very good proposition. And as soon as I recommended and bought it, it's just started going the other way. And I couldn't reconcile that. So I feel a bit vindicated that there's a bit of recognition and they have stuck to their course. So I like what they're doing. My only worry is whether or not we get a slowdown in mining, which we may see with the falling commodity prices. Iron ore price down, copper coming down, platinum coming down. The only one that's really going, you know, bonkers is coal, which is at levels that we haven't seen before. So I think that's the only thing that's worrying me is whether we can maintain what we did in the half year, at the half year. You know, in other words, some very, very good numbers.
I mean, Wayne, do you, I mean, of course, Banquo is the ghost who comes back to haunt Macbeth and remind him I can't actually think of the word now. Sorry, I shouldn't have segued down that. Yes, or his crimes. That's what I'm trying to think of. So if Barloworld had to sell off the logistics business and maybe, I suppose, winnow itself down, is it doing it at the peak of, as David says, the mining is doing so well for them. But if that stops becoming being such a good contributor, and they sell off the other parts of the business, then what are they left with? Or do you think they're doing canny things here with their portfolio?
I mean, just on the mining side, it's quite clear we're in some sort of downturn that is going to be far more muted than previous downturns. So I don't think mining might not be that good for the next year, because it's probably the commodity prices are turning down. But, you know, iron ore is not going to $30 a ton. It's not. You know, it's come from 220 and it's, what's it now, 100, wherever, 90, wherever. But it's
100
not going
about
down
20, to, yeah, 114, 15, yeah.
So it's not going to disappear like, you know, the previous cycle. And the one very positive thing for Barlow's is that the mining companies haven't spent any capital expenditures since 2016. You know, for 2012 through to 2015, mining companies worldwide were spending, I don't know, $160 billion a year. I doubt if they're spending $20 billion now. So, And every day a mining company works, they deplete that reserve. So they got to start spending the capex, almost irrespective of where the cycle is. And they got the money this time around.
Yeah.
So the longer term outlook for Barlow's actually doesn't look that bad at all.
Okay. And just maybe sticking with the sector, I mean, if Barlow World is selling its logistics business, does that imply that logistics businesses, companies on the JSE are not maybe where you would want to put money? Or is it just because it's a particular issue for them, they want to concentrate on other things in their portfolio, and there are actually logistics businesses that you would want to buy as investors?
I think logistics are pretty, you know, Imperial have just sold, have just been bought out now. I think in their decisions might have been influenced by COVID and the pandemic. It might have been a historical decision, just concerned about, just concerned about what was. You see, that I think they've already been negotiating. And so I'm concerned, but I mean, generally logistics, even into Africa, should be very robust.
Okay.
Now look, I mean, you look at Bidvest, how successful they've been, Supergroup post the turnaround, how successful they've been. And of course, in the modern age with everything online, logistics is actually everything. Logistics is everything just about. So no, I wouldn't be negative on logistics.
Okay.
Supply chain logistics, we never knew those words a few years ago. Now it's everything. Now, especially on supply chain, we've all become experts.
Experts, yeah.
Therein lies perhaps a cautionary tale, but anyway, I shall move on to Pepkor. And the question is, I bought Pepkor over a year ago, sitting good in the green. However, I see so much more value in this business. Instead of taking profits, I'm thinking of adding to my position. What are the thoughts of either David or Wayne in relation to Pepkor itself and the broader retail market in the not too distant future? Wayne, sticking with you, do you think Pepkor is something that you would add to?
Man, yes. I'm actually more and more positive on SA retail. I mean, the Reserve Bank, when they came out with their bulletin, says we're going to grow by over 5% this year. That's significantly higher than what the estimates were a year ago, and significantly higher than what the estimates were a month ago. And a lot of brokers and research houses are going to be upping their estimate for SA economy. Look, we still don't recoup what we lost last year, but it's still reasonably good outlook. So, you know, Pepkor, maybe they're cheaper shares, and I might as well talk about it now. I mean, my choice for today was going to be Mr. Price. So maybe Mr. Price is a better one. Maybe ShopRite. But SA Retail, I'm not negative on it.
Okay. David, do you have a different view?
No, not at all. But I just think they're so well placed in our market. And even in their regional shopping centers where people are still spending and there are no vacancies and things are still pretty robust there, consumers are going to look for value. And I mean, Pepkor gives you value. So I think it's probably really well placed in terms of SA retail. It's just a good, steady, solid performer.
Okay.
And it has been for many, many years.
Yeah. Okay. So we agreed with this person that they should stick with their winner. And then there's a question quickly on Prosus and Naspers. Being recently, the voluntary share exchange offer was made by Prosus to Naspers in shareholders. On your program and on various other platforms, it was stated that it would be more prudent to take up the offer, that is, to reduce your holding in Naspers and increase your holding in Prosus. What I have noticed is that in the majority of the SA unit trusts, where the top 10 holdings are disclosed, as at the 30th of August 2021, Naspers is still given as the number one holding, and Prosus not appearing in the top 10 or perhaps as a very low percentage. Any ideas to the reasons for this?
Look, I know a couple of big investment houses didn't do the swap. Mm-hmm. But certainly in the portfolios we manage, Naspers and Prosus are similar size.
Okay.
Juliet, I was saying, I trace volumes every day and value. And there's a noticeable difference, you know. Naspers used to trade probably 3-4 times the value that process used to. And now they're almost matching, and there are days in which we see more trade. And remember, these are balancing. These are the trade that we see is trading, and it's also a lot of ETFs balancing, or various other funds balancing, those that track the indices. So there's certainly a big improvement in the trading process that we're seeing.
Okay. I mean, does it matter? If you feel that you've been encouraged to swap your Naspers shares for Prosus, and then you see the big unit trusts didn't do the same, mm-hmm. Do you think, was I given the wrong advice? Or do you feel that actually it doesn't really matter?
They both own Tencent, both of them. And I think you're talking semantics here. I think they'll both track each other. It's unlikely you're going to see Prosus go up 5% one day and Naspers down 5% the same day. It never happens.
Yeah.
There might be a slight difference, yeah.
Okay.
But the big discount actually sits still in Naspers.
Okay. Wayne, you have given us your stock pick this evening. Mr. Price Value Retail in South Africa, you think is alive and kicking. David, how about you? What's your stock pick?
I'm blank. I actually searched through the market today. I just went through all the markets and said, what do I really like? I couldn't come up with anything. Just in this kind of market, my mood might have been set by what happened, by what's happening, which I always swear it won't do. I try to say, don't be upset by what's happening. But I really battled to find something that I really like. But I am thrilled that Barlow World is responding to what I thought was a good theme, which was picks and shovels. In the mining industry, yeah. I still think we're going to see increased spend. As Wayne articulated, I can't get even articulate out of my mouth. Articulated, yeah.
Okay,
it's supper time, that's why.
Yeah, I know, we're all hungry. Wayne regaled us with tales of what he's been eating at various restaurants, so we were totally distracted. Wayne, David, we shall leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Nice to see you both. David Shapiro is from Assassin Securities. Wayne McCurry is from F&B Wealth and Investments, and we'll be back tomorrow to take more of your questions. Have a good evening.